Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining this Eli Lilly and Company teleconference. All lines are currently in a listen-only mode. When we move to the Q&A portion, we will mute your lines to ask your questions. I will now turn the call over to Dave Ricks, Chairman and CEO of Eli Lilly and Company. Mr. Ricks, please go ahead.
Hello and welcome. Mark, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Dave.
So thank you all for joining us today to discuss Lilly's efforts to combat the novel coronavirus pandemic. This is Dave Ricks, Lilly's Chairman and CEO, and I'm joined today by Dr. Christina Box, Indiana State Health Commissioner, and Dr. Dan Skovronsky, Lilly's Chief Scientific Officer and the President of Lilly Research Labs. We'll make some brief comments to start, and then we'll be happy to take your questions. For more than 140 years, Lilly has played a leading role in solving problems in our Indiana home. Over the past few weeks, our company has moved quickly to protect our employees and our ability to supply essential medicines to millions of people around the world. We've partnered recently with a biotech company to develop a therapeutic antibody to treat COVID-19. And we helped establish a United Way Fund in Indianapolis for the neediest in our community, those hurt by economic downturn, who rely on nonprofit agencies that will struggle with service delivery during the outbreak. Lilly is bringing the full force of our scientific and medical expertise to attack the coronavirus pandemic around the world. And today, we're marshaling our people and our assets to confront and defeat the novel coronavirus in our state. This afternoon, Lilly announced that our scientists are partnering with the Indiana State Department of Health and with the support of the Food and Drug Administration to accelerate testing in the state of Indiana for SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Lilly will use our specialized research laboratories to analyze samples taken in Indiana healthcare facilities, which include nursing homes and emergency rooms. Assuming we can continuously access required diagnostic reagents, this should help the state's ability to ensure timely diagnosis of individuals who suspect they may be carrying the virus. As our testing capacity expands, Lilly and the Indiana State Department of Health will work together to maximize the impact of this broader testing capability. It's important to note that Lilly will not accept money from government agencies, hospitals, insurance companies, or patients for conducting or analyzing tests. This is one contribution we can make to help slow the spread of coronavirus in our community, and this testing will be entirely free. Now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Dan Skovronsky for a few additional details.
Thanks, Dave. Mark, can you hear me okay?
Dan, thank you. I can hear you fine, Dan. Thank you.
Very good. In less than a month, the SARS-CoV-2 outbreak has escalated from a regional crisis to a global pandemic. As a scientist, I find it humbling that a lifeless virus can spread so quickly and create so much suffering. As a physician, I'm committed to doing everything I can to help support the care of patients with COVID-19. And as a Lilly executive, I'm proud and optimistic of the difference we can make here. Indeed, as the global pandemic has intensified, Lilly has redirected efforts to help solve critical issues, including work on potential therapeutics, diagnostics, and testing. There are no vaccines for SARS-CoV-2, and there are currently no medicines proven to treat COVID-19. So our best course of action right now is to slow transmission and thereby avoid overwhelming our healthcare systems. Additional testing capacity is one vital component in the fight against the spread of the virus. Testing is necessary to track the spread of infection, ensure proper treatment and isolation for infected individuals, whether they are patients in the hospital, residents at nursing homes, healthcare providers, or citizens in the community. Our scientists have been working day and night for several weeks to implement and validate the testing approach we announced today. We've been challenged by shortages of a number of key reagents required in the testing, but for the most part, we've worked around these shortages, either by finding alternatives or in some cases, producing our own reagents. Our lab meets all the required certifications to conduct testing, and we're optimistic in our ability to help accelerate testing in Indiana. In addition to testing samples acquired in healthcare facilities across the state, Lilly's also piloting a drive-through testing facility that may be able to enable testing of patients outside of a healthcare facility and thus further avoid spread of the virus. While technically challenging, we believe this is possible, assuming the continued flow of critical supplies. We're currently working through details, but we also want to make sure we provide adequate testing capacity to backstop urgent needs at our local hospitals first. That is our first priority. We look forward to doing that in close collaboration with the Indiana State Department of Health. Indeed, throughout the last several weeks, we've been honored to partner with the Indiana State Department of Health. There's no question we would not be in a position to help patients at the scale with which we intend had it not been for excellent partnership from ISDH and especially bold leadership from Dr. Christina Box. We have a lot of work ahead for both teams in coming days, and Dr. Box and her team have been invaluable partners. We're grateful for all they're doing to protect Hoosiers in these uncertain times. I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Box to say a few words from the state's perspective.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's my distinct honor today to join Dan and Dave as we announce our collaboration to increase testing for COVID-19 in the state of Indiana. ISDH really has worked very closely with Dr. Andrew Shade and Dr. Charles Williams there at Lilly to combine the strengths of each of our labs, which will allow Lilly to test for COVID-19 using reagent supplies different from those that are available to ISDH through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. While this collaboration is still in its early stages, I am absolutely confident that it is a key step forward in making testing for COVID-19 more available in Indiana. We know that access to testing has been of utmost concern to Hoosiers as we have battled this outbreak. And rest assured, it has been a top priority here at the State Department of Health. As Indiana's health commissioner charged with protecting the health and safety of Hoosiers, I am deeply grateful for this partnership. I speak for Governor Holcomb and Hoosiers all over our state when I say thank you, Lilly, for prioritizing the health of Hoosiers by answering this need. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Box. We're honored to work with you. And on behalf of Lilly and all of our employees, we thank you for your dedication to helping Hoosiers at this most critical time. So now I'd like to open it up for questions. Mark?
So
ladies and gentlemen,
thank you. Thank you to all of our speakers. And to avoid any audio issues as we go through this, what we're going to do here is we're going to unmute everybody's phones, but we ask you to please mute your own phones at this time, and I'll call on each outlet individually. We ask that you try to state your name and outlet and limit yourself to two questions so we can get through everybody. We'll start with Pete Loftus at the Wall Street Journal. Pete, your line's now open.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Can hear you fine, Pete.
Great. So I'm wondering if anyone at Lilly can recall the company having done something like this in the past for, you know, whether it was an outbreak or something like this. And also, can you give me a sense of what the current testing capacity is in Indiana and how much Lilly's effort will increase that by?
Dave or Dan, would you like
you
to handle
to
that?
Start? Yeah, well, maybe I'll start and put it in historical context, and Dan can amplify and answer the capacity question. Thanks for joining us, Pete. It's hard to remember a recent time when something like this occurred, but I guess it's also hard to remember a recent time when we faced something like the coronavirus threat. The one that comes to mind for me in our history, which we're very proud of, is the partnership we created in the 50s with Jonas Salk. At that time, Lilly was the first company to partner on the polio vaccine and actually built out and installed industrial scale capacity to make the vaccine prior to its known effectiveness. As a result, we were the highest volume and earliest shipper of that, which we know was a hugely successful endeavor. This is not a vaccine, it's a diagnostic, and this is a more regional approach, but I think it's in the spirit of that same moment that we reflected a few weeks ago and repurposed and put many, many Lilly scientists to work and redirected our equipment to try to solve the local testing problem.
Thanks, Dave. I'll talk about capacity of testing. Of course, Dr. Box may comment on the state capacity. I think, though, ISDH has conducted around 200 tests so far. Obviously, hospitals and private send-out tests add to that. Our capacity will grow in coming days, but we expect to be able to conduct something in the range of 1,000 to 2,000 tests per day when we reach full capacity. However, the constraint here for us, as for many testing facilities around the country right now, will be the flow of reagents. As I said, we've been able to produce some of our own reagents. In other places, we've been able to work around constraints by changing our processes to be different than other labs, but we're keeping a close eye on that. Chris, Dr. Box, did you want to add anything on state capacity?
Well, I just wanted to say we have really been functioning with very limited resources, but at the end of the week last week, we did receive some more testing kits, and then now have had additional testing kits this week. So I think with Lilly coming online and one of our hospital systems also starting to ramp up testing, and then the ability to send to LabCorp, even though there's a delay in that timing, we are definitely much better positioned than we have been in the last several weeks to be able to address this pandemic.
Thank you all. So we'll go to the Indianapolis Star, if you'd like to unmute yourself and ask a question. Indy Star, are you on the line? Okay, we'll come back to them. Let's go to the Indianapolis Business Journal. IBJ, are you on the line?
Hi, Mark. Hi, John Russell from the IBJ.
Hey, John.
I wonder if you could, I wonder if your guests can talk two things. One, you said, Dan, I think you get up to 1,000 to 2,000 tests per day when you reach full capacity. What time frame are we talking about between now and then? And secondly, can somebody talk a little bit more about this drive-through that was briefly mentioned? What's all involved? How many locations? When that might start?
Sure. This is Dan. Thank you for both of those questions. The first question was on timing. We are running tests as we speak. Every day, our capacity is increasing as we work on continuing to industrialize our process. I expect we could reach over 1,000 tests a day within a week or sooner. In terms of the, of course, contingent on continued access to supply of reagents. With respect to drive-through testing, it's an idea we're still piloting. We've seen in other communities in the United States, as well as other countries around the world, that there is two issues to solve here. One is a crunch of patients turning up at hospitals or doctor offices or emergency rooms for diagnostic testing and potentially contaminating each other. And the second is the lack of diagnostic information for people who are in the community, which can help isolate even within a household infected individuals. So we're piloting that approach. We don't have more details to share at this point, but please expect more information of that in the coming days.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next we'll go to WTHR.
Yeah, thank you. Kevin Rader, WTHR. Dr. Box, first of all, for you, how many test kits do we actually currently have in Indiana? And then my second question kind of dovetails a little bit of what was just
asked. Hi, this is Kyle Thomas from WTHR. Can you hear me?
Oh, it sounds like we got maybe two THR representatives asking.
I'm sorry. And the second question is, how will it be decided who is in line? I can see Hoosiers driving from all across the state to try to get in line, and how will that be handled?
So the drive-through testing is something that Lilly is planning to pursue at this time. We are exploring all options as a state. I would say that as we discuss this, we do recognize the need for individuals that potentially live in a long-term care facility who's infected, and we're actually having our nurse surveyors go out and do that testing in the long-term care facility. But healthcare workers that are exposed, people who work in healthcare systems, individuals that work in long-term care facilities, individuals that are at particularly high risk would be individuals that we would want to test. And having a site outside of the emergency room and not overburdening our emergency rooms is definitely something that I think across the state in different regional areas would be an option. The important thing about something like drive-through testing or testing at one site is that it allows you to conserve your PPE, your personal protective equipment. The downside of that is that if we test a lot of individuals that are mildly ill that really potentially don't need to be tested, not only will that use our PPE, but consequently it also will mean that we'll have issues with our viral swabs and our viral transport media. So we're all trying to strike the right balance here to make sure that we are testing the right population and make sure that we can accurately test those that need to be tested.
Thank you. Is there another question from a separate THR reporter or editor? No? Okay, we're going to move on then. We're going to move on to WRTV. Is anybody from RTV on the line?
Yes, Stephanie Wade here with WRTV. Do we know where the drive-through testing sites might be?
This is Dan Skowronski, and I'll take that question. It's premature, I think, to talk about details on drive-through testing. As we said earlier, our first priority is relieving the backlog of people who need to be tested in hospitals and healthcare facilities, including healthcare workers, very importantly. But in a few days, we'll have more details. The current pilot that I mentioned, of course, is on Lilly facility. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay. We'll now move over to Wish. Anybody from Wish on the line?
Yeah, this is Dan Klein with Wish. Two questions that I like to say. One, how long does it take a test? Once you test somebody, how long does it take to get results? And then two, you're very clear that, and I think it's great that you're certainly not taking any payments, but what do you believe the, long-term cost could be as we're doing this, as you're estimating it? And, I'll ask you, a lot of us had done a story, that similar testing with Roche Diagnostics. Can you explain, is there any difference in your testing, or is it all about the same? I'm sorry, I'm not a scientist. So are you able to speak about that? I don't know how much collaboration there is between, separate companies on this specific topic. Thank you.
Sure. There were, I think, two questions in there. One is around the turnaround time, I think you were asking, between when the sample is taken and when the result is available. And the second was a comparison to the Roche testing. So on turnaround time, the actual testing process takes about 4 to 6 hours. However, tests are batched, and then there's analysis. So we aim to be able to offer results within the same day or overnight, depending on when the sample is collected. That's a huge advantage of local testing versus send-out testing. Send-out testing, which is sent to a central diagnostic facility outside the state, often takes several days for results, which is perhaps not acceptable in this disease for most patients. There are several different testing technologies available. The Roche diagnostic test is one of them that uses specialized equipment that's usually found in large diagnostic testing labs. Our testing process is different, uses different equipment and different reagents. But the basis of the test, which is detecting the virus that causes COVID-19, is similar.
believe there was a question there as well about cost. As I said, we have no plans and won't accept payment for the testing we do. This is purely an effort to support our state and our community. In terms of financial impact, on the scale of Lilly, with R&D expenditures exceeding $5 billion per year, this won't be material to that number. The hard part is working out a method for testing and acquiring the reagents that Dan was speaking about and repurposing our equipment and people. This announcement today is that we're pleased that we've made a lot of progress on that. We'll be able to begin accepting tests from local healthcare institutions and perhaps from the general public. So it's less a financial issue. It's more about the focus of the organization. And we're quite proud of the team and their efforts over the last few weeks to really take on a pretty unique task and to support the state in the process.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dan. We'll go next to Fox CBS. Anybody from Fox CBS on the line?
Brett Cass here with Fox CBS. I guess the only really question I had, one to clarify, 2,000 tests per day. That's referring to just Lilly, right, not statewide. And then the other question I had, you talked about as long as that would be the number, as long as you have continued access to reagents. How much is, I guess, Lilly producing as far as reagents? I'm not exactly sure what that is or what that implies, but I guess what percentage of the tests will be done with something that is produced by Lilly as far as reagents?
Yeah, thank you for that question. The number of about 1,500, 1,000 to 2,000 tests per day, is that's just in our own lab using the capacity that we currently have. There certainly will continue to be other capacity in the state that we anticipate will also grow over time, but that's outside of Lilly. In terms of the reagents, there's many different reagents or supplies needed at different steps. Some of those we can recreate in our own labs and facilities. Others we cannot. So it's not that a fraction of the tests use our stuff and a fraction use other reagents. Every test uses the full suite of reagents and supplies. Some of those we can make, some we have to purchase.
Thank you, Dan. We're going to go back and see whether a representative from the Indy Star might be on the line now. Anybody from the Star? Sherry, are you on the line? You might be muted.
Can you hear me?
Hey, hi, Sherry. I can hear you now.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. The danger of using not my desk phone, right? Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Let me ask Dr. Box if she thinks that this is going to change recommendations on who gets testing. I know she knows I've been badgering her about this. But will this make a difference? Will all those people who are telling me they know they have it, they have mild symptoms, will they be able to go drive through? Are you going to be advising doctors, you know, prioritize still the sickest yourselves? How does that work?
So, Sherry, I think that's a great question. And I think that, you know, what we need to do is continue to conserve our PPE because it does need to be worn when this test is done, and to continue to conserve the swabs and the viral media. However, I think that I see this as finally we can turn this back over to our very astute and highly effective clinicians so that they can use their best clinical judgment about who needs to be tested, so that no matter what we do, whether it's a site, you know, in a clinic, so that everyone from Marion County that needs to be tested based on a doctor's order or based on the fact that they have had exposure or live in a long-term care facility, that somebody is really truly listening as a physician and clinically deciding if that patient needs to be tested. Again, I don't move off my stance that those individuals that are mildly ill and young and healthy need to go home and isolate themselves and get better, stay away from grandma and grandpa. We really do need to be testing our highest risk populations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Box. Next, we're going to go to Inside Indiana Business. Is there a representative from IIB?
Yes, this is Kylie.
Oh, hi, Kylie. Go ahead.
Hi. It's Kylie Valletta with Inside Indiana Business. Probably a question for Dr. Box. You know, as we're talking about ramping up tests to 1 to 2,000 per day, whereas we are currently sitting around 200. Is there a message you need to give the public when we see, I know the State Department issues an email every day talking about how many Hoosiers have been diagnosed with COVID. Is there a message you want to give to the public? I'm assuming these numbers are going to climb very rapidly so that there isn't panic when we see these numbers take a huge jump in positive tests.
Very good question, and I think that I want to reiterate the things that I've been saying lately, and that is that we know that there's community spread. When you have the number of individuals that we have had in the state that have been significantly ill and have had to be hospitalized, or even, unfortunately, the two deaths we've had, you know, that's that top 15 to 20% of people. We know there's another 80% of individuals out there that are ill, and that reinforces that message of social distancing and isolation. I really can't emphasize enough that this is the measure that we have to try to prevent or flatten this curve with regards to the spread of this virus. And really that is so that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system. So we do have plenty of hospital beds. We make sure we have plenty of ICU beds. We have the ability to have the equipment that we need to care for our most seriously ill individuals. And that's our goal with all of this. So I think it's absolutely critical that we continue to reinforce the message that we've had.
One other question from a business front. Is this really unique? Is there another pharmaceutical giant in another state partnering with the State Department of Health, being able to test thousands of people in one day? Or is this truly just something that's happening in Indiana?
Maybe I'll take that, Mark. To date, I'm not aware of another effort like this. Of course, some pharmaceutical companies have ownership of diagnostic companies like Roche, but they're also based here in Indiana, coincidentally. But I think the effort to repurpose what are normally laboratories designed to support our internal experimentation for public use is unique. Of course, we're sharing this practice across the pharmaceutical industry because particularly on the coast where the virus is spreading more rapidly, we have a significant presence as an industry, and perhaps they could replicate what Dan and his team have been able to do so rapidly. But, you know, we've always been, as I said at the front, a big part of this community. And, you know, I think our folks just couldn't sit by and not try to address this in some way.
Thank you, Dave.
And this is Chris. I would echo Dave's comments, and that is I'm on calls on a regular basis with state and territorial health officers from all across the United States, and this is the first partnership that I've heard where we've had a public-private partnership, and makes me ever so more grateful for that collaboration.
Thank you, Dr. Box. And finally, we'll go to WIBC. Is anybody from WIBC on the line? Not hearing anybody. You might be on mute. No? Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to turn the call back over to Dave Ricks to close for his closing comments. Dave?
Great. Thank you, Mark, and thanks for everyone for being with us here today. At this time, you know, our purpose has never been more important, which is to make life better. And I want to thank all the efforts of the Lilly team, as well as the ISDH team that have been able to work so closely together to make this happen. Of course, our first responsibility is to supply the medicine which we make, which keep particularly at-risk individuals for this virus healthy. We're very focused on diabetes in particular. They're counting on us. And that's our most solemn responsibility in this crisis. We know patients with underlying health problems are most at risk, and they need to take care of themselves. And our job is to make sure they have a safe supply of medicine. I'm pleased to say we've been able to assure that during this crisis. We make medicines for diabetes, and in particular insulin, and that's a life-sustaining medication. I want to emphasize here, we're confident in our ability to provide an uninterrupted supply of these essential medicines, and there's no need for pharmacies, wholesalers, or patients to buy ahead. We have plenty, and every day our dedicated employees are coming to the plants here in Indiana to make more medicine. There are more challenges ahead, however, and that's why we're bringing our people and our assets to confront and defeat the novel coronavirus in our state. And we're committed as a company to doing everything that we can. One point Dr. Box mentioned I want to emphasize is social distancing. It is critical for all of us. At Lilly, we've taken this very seriously by going to a work-from-home policy now for 10 days, except for essential work, which is that of making medicine. We're encouraging all employees to practice this in their own lives for the good of our entire community. I want to emphasize also what you said, which is up to all of us. Everyone has a role in preventing the spread of this disease. And the best thing we can do is to continue to practice social distancing to slow the spread and to encourage all of our communities to be safe and mindful that we have a part to play. Together, working with state health authorities and local healthcare providers, we believe both testing and social distancing can make a meaningful difference in slowing the spread of the virus here in Indiana. Thank you for your time today and your attention for this call. As we said, there will be some follow-up over the coming days to some of the questions you raised today. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. If you have additional questions, please direct them to the media contacts that were listed in today's press release. Have a good day.